Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I bet while you guys hear this, I'm in Peru. And that's pretty cool. I have been off work now for a couple of days as we record this. Michael is here.
Hi everyone.
Yep, Michael is becoming a star in his own right, and that is awesome. He was on that big national Zoom call that Next Generation Carriers, John Murphy, put together, and he lit it up. That was pretty great. So, anyway, Michael was kind enough to come over while I'm on vacation. I've been on vacation for 2 days now, and we're going to record a couple episodes so that I have something to put out while I am out of country. So, yep. Thank you for that. As we record this, it is July 14th. Dude, I leave on July 16th. I am so geeked.
No, I'm sure.
Behind us here.
It's good thing you don't look Hispanic.
Yeah. Oh, for coming back? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Luckily, I don't have to worry about that. Yeah. So behind us here in the recording studio, also known as my guest bedroom, my luggage is set out. And what do you notice sitting on top of the luggage there?
Toilet paper.
That's right. Yeah, not everywhere has it down there. And you can't flush it. And that is going to be a new experience for me. Like taking my toilet paper and not, and like I have to do something with it afterwards. So so that should be interesting.
Just throw it in the trash.
Yeah, there's a trash in like every bathroom. And then I also, most bathrooms, I guess, are pay bathrooms. So I got to get the local currency, soles. And it's like, you know, 50 cents to use the bathroom. Dude. I'm going to get my 50 cents worth. All right. So the reason I've brought you here, I'm sure you're all wondering why I've brought you here today. Of course, you guys can all see the episode title. But it is because we have more questions from the mailbag. And when you have questions, yeah, go ahead.
I just want to say, if you guys are going to send us messages or any questions, please send it as a text, not a voice thing, because...
Oh, did you get a voice message?
I got voice messages that I didn't even understand. So nice. Please send it as a text or send it as an email at theclassesofmail@gmail.com so that we can actually read it. Okay.
Yeah.
That we can actually be able to read it and try to figure out what you're actually saying. Then when you actually do it a voicemail with a lot of background noise, it makes it hard.
Yeah. It does make it easier to just get everything in mind when it's written form. And if we need to talk to you, you know, Michael gives out his phone number. If I get a really good question that's going to take a big involved answer, then I will write back like, hey, this is my phone number. Give me a call. Yeah, obviously, Michael is good about giving out his phone number. And that's a cool thing.
Yeah, it just it'll be a lot easier if we actually can see it on text or email.
Right. Sure. Exactly. And so speaking of that, we have some questions that have been written into us. So we are going to go over these questions. I am not going to say where these questions came from. It doesn't matter. A good question is a good question no matter what. So here we go. Question number one. As a steward, would I be out of line to require management to issue a Form 3996 for any office work done by other routes by non-ODL or work assignment carriers? I think this would be beneficial when assessing Article 8 violations of forced overtime. So what he's asking is like if you work off your assignment or if other people are working off their assignment, you know, this happens a lot at my station because we're in mandate territory now. And so management will try to work these deals with people like, hey, dude, you don't want to do mandates out on the street because like today, how hot was it today, Michael?
113 degrees.
Dude, good day to be on vacation. So if you can avoid it, you don't want to do any more hours than you have to out on the street. So management will try to do these sweetheart deals where they'll be like, hey, if you can just help me case on another route on undertime, then I'll avoid mandating you, which is a grievance in and of itself because they have to follow the pecking order or the seniority list. But if, let's say management does that, they tell me, like, while you're busy doing steward work or something or whatever it is, they say, hey, Alan, go case on Michael's route on undertime. Should there be a 3996 to go with that?
No, and yes and no.
Okay, well, I know why it's yes. So,
okay, as long as, because you're on the scanner, right?
Yeah, so you definitely have to move on your scanner when you're working on another route. Yes. Right, and so your employee everything report is going to show the time that you worked on another route. In my opinion, anytime you're providing off-route work, you should have a 3996 because it's auxiliary assistance.
And that's a proof that you're doing somebody else's route.
Yeah, exactly right. That's a paper trail that shows you're on another route. But yeah, more to the point, you better clock to that other route. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing this on undertime, like I get the temptation. You know, there's a carrier who I work with who is on the 8-hour list. And his big thing is just, I want my non-work time to be my time. Dude, I totally get it, of course. And so recently, like, he got mandated for like 45 minutes and he just finished in 8 hours because he wanted to go home.
Well, I've seen people with undertime doing casing an auxiliary route.
Okay.
So they never clocked over to the auxiliary route because who cares?
Okay. Yeah, but the I can see why as a regular carrier, because you don't want to lose credit for the time on your own route. Right. It makes your own route look like it's 8 hours. Oh, yeah. But that's kind of where I'm going with this, too. Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm talking about, like, yes or no.
Yeah.
Because it's auxiliary route, then who kind of cares a little bit.
So,
but
well, I'm a by the book guy. And so I say anytime you work, whatever work you're doing, you need to be clocked to the appropriate function. Yes.
By the book, yeah, you're supposed to.
Yeah. Yes. And so here's where route protection comes into it. Mm-hmm. Because if you are consistently doing that, you're helping to case 15 minutes. Let's just say it's 15 minutes. Every day you case the route next to you and you spend, we'll call it 20 minutes, casing the route next to you. And you clock over to it, you do it properly, but you're doing it on undertime. You still get done in 8 hours. When it's time to adjust routes, Mike, what's going to happen to your route?
Well, my route is still going to be 8 hours because, you know, you didn't put any undertime
on it. I'm saying if you're clocking over, though,
but if you're clocking showing over 20 minutes, and you're showing undertime, yes, yeah, they'll add more to your route.
That's exactly right.
That's your route's going to get added to.
Yeah, that's why you don't dance for management, because if you dance for them, they're going to fuck you.
Yeah. And the reason that I'm saying is some of the carriers that don't put it towards auxiliary.
Yeah.
Route, because auxiliary route's never done correctly because you got CCAs running and so forth. It's never done correctly anyway.
Right.
So that's why a lot of carriers won't care. Especially on undertime to do on an auxiliary route.
Right. Right.
And I'm just speaking out. I know it breaks the rules, but I'm just speaking out how everybody kind of thinks.
So before we had GPS and the scanners, I would do similar. You know, where however I filled out the time on my 3996, I made sure that it added up that I was getting a full 8 hours on my own route, you know, regardless of how long it took me. And now you really just, because we have the GPS and the scanner, because, you know, there's more of a paper trail, you need to clock to the appropriate function. And if that means that you don't get to do a favor for management, great. You know, make sure that your own route is 8 hours first.
Make sure your route is 8 hours first.
Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah,
that is true.
Right, exactly. And if you work on another route, then yes, there should be a 3996 because you're providing auxiliary assistance and you should clock to that route. All right, so that's the first question. And one of the things I like about having Michael here is there are different schools of thought on this stuff. It's what makes them interesting questions.
I'm just giving what other carriers think.
yeah. Well, and it's a practical matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a real practical consideration. Mm-hmm. All right, next question. I've been carrying primarily walking routes my entire career. I'm nearing 50 years of age, and suffice it to say, I have lost a step to my pace. Aside from bidding to a less strenuous route or offering medical advice, what advice can you offer to a carrier in such a position when challenged by management as to why it often takes 8.5 hours to do what they used to be able to do in 8 hours? Is there any recourse other than obtaining a medical restriction or requesting a special route assessment to prove I'm not deliberately wasting time?
Well, that's an easy question. It's a 271G. That is a special route assessment.
Right, so he says other than a special route assessment. But the answer is no. That's what you have to do.
Is you fill out a 271G.
Right.
And here's the reason why. Because all routes are supposed to be 8 hours to the person that's carrying the mail.
Right. The route is adjusted to the carrier.
And because we're getting older, and we do slow down, and that is the reason why the 271G exists.
That's exactly right.
And so you do want to fill that out and give it to your steward, because if you are doing 30 minutes or more 3 days out a week, and then you need to put in for a 271G.
Right. The criteria is if you need at least 30 minutes of overtime, at least 3 days out of your 5-day work week for at least for a six weeks in a row. Yeah, for 6 weeks in a row. It does not matter what time of year it is.
Except for summer and Christmas.
No, for 271G, there's no summer objection.
No, summer exemption. And Christmas does not count even on 271G. I promise.
Mm.
Yes. Summer does not count.
We're going to pause Christmas here for a second.
Does not count.
You know, Mike, sometimes when we have these disagreements, one of us is right. And it just winds up going out to the world kind of unresolved. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to do something unorthodox. We're going to pause. Mm-hmm. We're going to look it up.
Okay.
So listeners, hang tight. Okay, so we're looking it up, and I pull up my phone, and I start to Google, and I'm like, huh, I wonder where I would find it. Michael goes, how about the M39, section 271.G? So, continue holding. All right, and we are back, and, you know, it doesn't matter who was right or who was wrong. What's important is we get the good information to the carriers. So, Michael is going to read from the M39, section 271G.
It says, if over any six consecutive week period where work performance otherwise satisfactory, a route shows over 30 minutes of overtime or auxiliary assistance on each of the 3 days or more on each week during this period, the regular carrier assigned to such route shall, upon request, receive a special mail count and inspection to be completed within 4 weeks of the request. The month of December must be excluded from the consideration when determining the 6 week period. However, if a period of overtime or auxiliary assistance begins in November and continues into January, then January is considered as a consecutive period, even though December is omitted. A new six consecutive week period is not begun.
All right. So if it's in December, you have to exclude December, but it does not specifically exclude June, July, and August.
When they say that exclude December means that four-week period that when it's right. supposed to be Christmas.
Exactly. Yeah. So like it says in there, like, if you're trying to get this built up and you started in November, then you skip December because everybody uses overtime in December, and then you go back to counting once you're in January. So to further elaborate, we have in this this PDF about special route inspections from the union, the special route inspections provided in M39 section 271 must be conducted in exactly the same manner as regular counts and inspections. They differ from regular route inspections only in that they may be conducted in June, July, or August. We have a decision from National Arbitrator Britton where he says management must complete special route examinations within 4 weeks of the request whenever these criteria have been met, even if the inspection must be conducted during the months of June, July, and August. And then the union goes on to add, and I think that's very important, it is, however, not always in the best interest of letter carriers to request them during the low-volume summer months.
Yes, but here's the thing. If you are still over 30 minutes during the summer months, means you're really
yeah,
over.
Yeah, then your route's really over. Yeah.
Then you do need right. to do a 271G.
If you're going to do a 271G, then you want to choose a time when you're going to make the most of it.
Yeah. You know, the six-week period where you know you're going to get the most mail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so if you're in a place that has like a university, then like September, you know, start mm-hmm. counting in September when the kids are back in school.
But to answer that question that we just had.
Oh, yeah. Right,
because they said 30 minutes every day, so then yes, right. that qualifies.
But he did say, the questioner did specifically say, aside from mm-hmm. a special route inspection.
But unfortunately, that's the only thing.
Well, in the short term, like I had a route where I was going over 45 minutes every day mm-hmm. on average, and I didn't want him to adjust the route. I was perfectly fine because I was on work assignment. I'm perfectly fine with getting that over time. You can keep the route as is.
See, here's where me and Alan disagree. Yeah, okay. Because you need to put a 271G in to cut that 45 minutes, because what happens to that 45 minutes, Alan?
I'm not sure what you
mean.
If
you put a 271G in?
Oh, it gets taken off your route.
Right.
Which is eventually what happened to my route.
And it goes to auxiliary route or whatever it is.
Oh, and it allows another carrier.
And then when he gets enough 8 hours of to make that another route, then we'll have another route.
All right, Michael, you win this round.
Okay. So that one is where I say that, yes, okay. you do need to get it cut.
So to get back to the carrier's question, you are exactly right about that. In the meantime, your answer has to be like, look, I'm giving you my good faith estimate on the $39.96. I'm telling you how long it's going to take me. And if you think that I'm slacking out there, if I'm not doing my job, follow me. The short-term answer is the $39.99, where they come out and watch you on the street and see how long it really takes. And in that situation, you better be able to demonstrate that your route really takes how long you say it takes. And that's why we also say that you want to do your route the same every day. You want to do it as though it's on inspection, so that when you get inspected, you're ready and you know you're doing things your normal way.
Again, when you're being inspected, the only time they're supposed to tell you something is if you're breaking some type of safety violation. okay?
Right.
So there is no discipline for how you're doing the street delivery.
That's right.
And yeah, so no you standard. Can deliver, there is no standard, so you can deliver however mm-hmm. way you want to deliver as long as you're following the safety rules.
Right. And, you know, the specific part of this question, what advice can you offer a carrier in such a position when challenged by management as to why it often takes 8.5 to do what they used to be able to do in 8?
Well, I am getting older. I'm over 50 now. That's you can just tell them yeah, that.
That is a legitimate answer. I'm starting to develop arthritis. I don't walk as fast. You know, whatever it is, mm-hmm. whatever your actual reason is, I mean, that's what I always say. If you go back to like episode 2 of this podcast, about the 3996, I'm going to tell you the same thing back then. The thing that goes in box K for your reasons mm-hmm. are your actual reasons.
Yeah.
Whatever
now,
that reason
is. So here's the thing. Yep. You do not want to put in saying that I'm getting old. You do not want to put that on there.
Fucking okay. I would put that.
No, I wouldn't put okay. that in there. Okay.
Route not adjusted to carrier.
Yeah. to carrier. Yeah. Or the parses are heavy.
Well, just, if it's a volume issue, yeah, of course, that's what management wants you to put on the 3996.
So, yeah.
If it's volume. But mm-hmm. often it's not volume related.
Yeah.
You know, it's me. It's but I'm if, slowing
but if
down.
If you put volume that not adjusted carrier, then you need to put a 271G in.
Yeah, right. Ultimately, that is correct.
Yes.
If the route is not adjusted to the carrier, that's why the 271G exists.
Yes.
Yep, you are absolutely right. All right, next question. If a carrier is approved for leave for a partial day, say 2 hours at the end of their tour, and management only approves an hour 30 of auxiliary assistance, citing undertime, is there a grievance in that, or should the carrier just return when they have to leave, even if they're still mail remaining from their assignment that day?
Well, first of all, you filled out an annual leave for 2 hours, so they cannot take that away from you.
Right. Okay? You leave at the specified time, right? That's laid in stone.
So you need to drop 2 hours of your time.
Right. If you normally quit at 4:30, you're going home at 2:30 today, and that's all there is to it. You're going home at 2:30.
Yeah. No matter what. Now, here's the thing. If management says, oh, you got to only drop an hour and a half,
mm-hmm.
you bring back 30 minutes.
That's exactly
Actually,
right.
I'm sorry. You bring back 45 minutes.
Okay.
Do you know why?
To goose them a little bit?
No.
Why?
Because it takes time to take it out of your vehicle.
Yeah, that's true. Right, to separate it out.
Because you have to separate it out. Mm-hmm. You got to fill out a 96, and you have to fill out a 1571, so you have to do all that extra work.
Right.
So now you got to drop 45 minutes instead of 30 minutes.
Right.
Okay, this is how you teach management lessons.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. And this speaks to the 3996 again, in the sense that when you put in that you're, you know, if the carrier fills mm-hmm. out box K, I got J and K mixed up before, but whatever, the estimated work,
mm-hmm.
the carrier fills out box K and the carrier says how much work needs to be.
That's the reporting requirements on the M41.
That's right. Yep. And it's even written right on the back of your 3996. That's your good faith
that
estimate.
That is the carrier's
responsibility. Yep, that is exactly right.
To notify management how much time you have to drop.
Right. So if management only wants to approve an hour and a half of auxiliary assistance, that's fine. That's their business.
Mm-hmm.
But they still need to give you an instruction on what they want you to do with the rest of the mail.
Yeah.
Yep. So
if they don't give you the instruction on that, you still take it with you and then you bring it back.
Bring it back. Yeah, you bring it back. Yep, that's
absolutely
right. But
then, again, you bring back, instead of 30 minutes, you bring back 45 minutes.
And then what do you have to do to cover yourself when you bring that mail back?
Well, you already notified it in your 3996,
uh-huh.
but I would just, as a recommendation, send a message back on your scanner to management that you're bringing
that
back
you're bringing
45
back.
Minutes.
Right. What I was looking for is the 1571, the undelivered
mail.
That's
after
report.
You come back.
Yeah, that's what I said, when you come back. Yeah.
Yeah. So before you come back, you do want to report to management.
Right.
Because that is part of the reporting requirements that you're to report to management.
Yeah.
Because afternoon manager probably did not get the message from
no,
the morning
probably
manager.
Probably not.
Okay.
No.
And so you're being nice and letting the afternoon manager know.
I might not be nice. I like to say things like, hey, what do you know? The route took exactly how long I thought it
would
take.
Because technically you would bring it 30 minutes back.
Right.
And then you don't have to report it to the afternoon manager because that's the 30 minutes. But since now it's 45 minutes, you are required to report that.
But to me, it's still undelivered mail.
Yeah.
You know?
So you have to report that 45 minutes.
Right.
And saying hey, I'm bringing back 45 minutes
right.
because I put an annual leave in and morning manager did not give me on what to do with that mail.
Right. And you don't know what they're going to do with that mail because you're leaving. And so that's why you fill out that 1571. If there's a CCA standing right there and they say, okay, give it to the CCA, fine. You don't need a 1571.
I love telling the afternoon supervisor these things. You know why?
Because they get screwed by the morning supervisor.
Right. Yeah. And they complain and bitch at the morning manager.
Yeah, as they should. Dude, the morning supervisor set fires that the closing supervisors have to try to fix.
Because 100%. They did some stupid thing in the morning.
Yeah. I had a supervisor explain it to me once. Why it's so fucked in the mornings. Because they'll get some mandate from the district manager or whatever that says, hey, your station can only use 10 hours of overtime today. And so now they got to figure out, like, how in the hell are we going to do 10 hours of overtime? When they get to Michael's case first thing and Michael's like, yeah, I need 2 hours of overtime. They're like, oh, we're screwed.
Yeah, now they're down to 8 hours of overtime.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. And so they're screwed. And so what they'll do is they'll say, well, I'll tell you what, Michael, I don't want to approve any overtime for you now. So why don't you just call at 2 o'clock and let us know how you're doing?
But see,
and so they kick the can down the road.
But again, they can still manage this to 10 hours if they wanted. Mm-hmm. They could just tell the carrier just to inform the evening manager.
Right. That's what the call at 2 o'clock is, mm-hmm. that they're kicking the can down the road. And that's why they don't want you to fill out that 3996, mm-hmm. or they don't want you to commit to that amount of overtime.
And here's the thing, too, is...
Dude, we got to have an
episode. That's not just because of 10 hours. It's because they're trying to say, if you only use 10 hours of overtime today,
right,
you can get your bonus today.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's all about these stupid bonuses.
And so the morning supervisor, I'm sure, a supervisor explained this to me, after the carriers leave in the morning, then they got to check in with their bosses and be like, okay, this is what we did. I did a great job today. Mm-hmm. And then in the evening, when it's all fucked up, that's the closing supervisor's problem. The other bullshit that they'll do here, and I bet they do this around the country, is the other day I got mandated, and the handoff, the auxiliary assistant that was given to me off another route said an hour and a half. And I look at this mail, and it's way more than an hour and a half. And I finally learned, I don't give a shit what management claims this handoff is. It takes however long it takes, and I don't rush. So it took me 2 hours and 20 minutes to do this hour and a half handoff. When I get back, I look at the board to see how the route was split up. They split it into 3 hour and a half handoffs.
Yeah, how is that possible?
Yeah, for only 4.5 hours of street time?
Yeah.
Give me a freaking break. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what, they spent 3.5 hours in the office?
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, it's totally ludicrous. And so they're setting up the carriers for failure and the closing supervisor for failure. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to push back against. You know, ultimately, our responsibility, don't buy into it. It takes what it takes.
Well, I mean, me personally, I know management can manage it in whatever the way they want, mismanaging, right?
Right.
But this bonus that they have that set up is the worst thing for the Postal Service. Okay.
Oh,
it's the worst thing for the Postal Service. Because all they're going to do is cheat and lie and try to harass
people. They rob Peter to pay Paul. Yep, absolutely.
It's the most wrong thing to do.
It is. Dude, we got this problem right now in my station with our mandating, where management is openly disregarding the contract, you know, where they'll mandate people. So we start at 8 o'clock at my station, and then they'll mandate carriers, and then they send out a RIMS that says, hey, everybody needs to be backing off the clock by 7. And so that's 10.5 hours of work. Mm-hmm. So there's no way they're maximizing their ODL. They're not even attempting to maximize their overtime carriers.
And that would be a grievance.
It's absolutely a grievance. Yes. And to me, this is where escalating remedies need to come in, because it's a blatant disregard. It's a willful disregard of the contract. They're not even trying to comply. And the excuse that the supervisor gives me is because I called the station manager out on it in the morning. And she says, well, these are orders that are coming down from district that we have to get everybody, you know, off the clock by 7. And This is that jacked up system where the district manager is doing the same thing that the opening supervisor does. Is they're trying to make everything look nice for this one day, and so their stuff looks good. But then on the back end, when there's all this grievance being paid out, you know, that's on a separate report, and so they don't held accountable to that as much.
Okay,
More thing, and then on top of that, they're probably banking on there's some stewards who don't bother filing that grievance, and so they just get away with it.
Okay. So this is where I'm coming up. This is a rumor. This is a hearsay. This is somebody told me this, saying that this is what's going on with our branch. These stewards are being told to not, when they file for mandates, to only file for overtime carriers and not the mandated carrier, okay?
Dude.
And so what happens when the mandated carrier doesn't get paid for being mandated? I mean, they're the ones being violated, right?
Right. Yeah, okay? I'm a victim and, just as much as the ODL carrier.
And ODL for not working.
Right.
So the person that's not working is the only one that's going to get paid is the most stupidest thing that I've ever heard of, okay? And but this is what's going on with our branch because I'm being told now. Again, like I said, it's a hearsay. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's no actual proof. And
they know better than to put that stuff in writing.
Yeah, there's nothing they're going to put it on writing on these things. Okay, and so the problem with this is that when a carrier doesn't get paid, the next time they get mandated, what they're going to say? Heck with this! I'm not going to get paid anyway. Why would I notify the union that there's a grievance?
Right, because they know the union doesn't have their back.
Yeah, right. So what happens now? The overtime doesn't get paid at all anymore.
Right.
So now there is zero grievance
on
something that should have been grieved.
Yeah, okay? That's right.
Because of our branch doesn't want to file grievances, these are the things that they might be telling to these stewards or whoever, and that's causing a problem.
All right. So speaking of the branch not wanting to file grievances, let's get to our next question.
Yeah.
And that is, this person writes in and says, a friend of mine recently became a 204B, and they are now working on a different schedule. They're coming in at 3 o'clock in the morning and working until noon. Is that supervisor still entitled to out-of-schedule pay because they are technically still a carrier?
Yes.
Yeah.
They are entitled to. So here's the thing is if you're a 204B, that's a higher position.
Right.
And you have to make sure... Mm-hmm. You get a copy of the 1723B, okay, or 1723. And the reason for it is that once they put in the process of the 1723, you actually get your raise.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay.
Yep.
And so you don't have to worry about that grievance because you will get your higher pay.
Right.
Okay. It's when you don't ask for 1723,
right,
they'll keep you at your normal pay.
Right. Okay? So before we go any further, let's make clear, you know, how we feel about 204Bs.
Well, 204Bs, okay, first of all, I don't mind people trying to
better themselves
on their life.
Right.
Because those are some things that you do when you get a new job. Say, hey, do I want to stay as a worker?
Right.
Or do I want to try to move up and be a manager?
Okay? Right.
So there are a lot of people go through that beginning in their career. And so, and again, if any beginning carriers, they just first year, second year carrier, regulars, when you become a 204, you get paid more than being a regular carrier.
Right. Yeah. So it's a nice pay raise.
You get a decent pay raise.
You know, I used to talk about this in the academy, how nothing at the post office, at least as a carrier, like nothing's really merit based. I know there are like qualitative step increases, but those never happen. And so whether you're the best carrier in your station or the worst carrier in your station, you're going to get your raises at the exact same time.
Right.
And the only way to break out of that is to get into management. And then you can like work your way up, you can make more money. And so, yeah, I don't automatically hate on people who are trying to do that. But when they're a 204B, they are still city letter carriers and they are still part of the NALC and they are subject to they are protected by our contract.
Yes. And so if management doesn't pay them the higher detail,
That's a grievance.
Then we should file a grievance,
right?
So that they can get
not just detail. We can file a grievance. We should file a grievance.
Yes,
and then also for the time that they're working from 3 a.m. to 8 a.m., that should be out of schedule pay because that's outside their normal work hours.
Well, those are done automatically on their pay.
It should be, but you've had to file this grievance before, right?
No, because it's done automatically. If you look at paycheck stub, it's automatically on there.
Okay. Okay, so the out of schedule, so what you mean by automatic?
I got it mixed up.
Yeah, you mean the night differential. Right, the extra 25% or whatever
it is.
That
is done automatically.
Yeah, that's automatic.
Yeah.
Right, the out of schedule, they should be getting paid for that, for working outside of their normal schedule, their normal hours.
Right.
And if they don't, that's also a grievance. And that can wind up being a very substantial grievance.
Because if you're doing it out of schedule for a year.
Yeah, that's
a lot of money.
And not to mention supervisors work weird hours. And so, you know, some of that is going to be overtime. You can't get out of schedule and overtime for the same period. But if you're coming in at 3 in the morning and, you know, let's say you work from 3 to 11:30, that 3 till 8, that's all going to be out of schedule.
Yeah, see.
And so that adds up fast.
See, the main grievance that we filed in Las Vegas, the branch 2502 for mm-hmm. these 204B, was the CCAs never got paid at a higher premium.
I remember you telling me about that one.
And because of that, a lot of the grievances were filed, and they were getting paid like $50,000, $60,000 because they never got the higher pay as a 204B.
Wow. It's that much of a pay increase?
Because they were 204B for 2 years.
Dude.
And you don't get paid at
the, right, and they were still paying them CCA wages.
It was CCA wage, which was back then, I think, $15 to $18 an hour, where the supervisor rate is around $35 an hour.
Wait a minute. That's a huge difference. This is something that I legitimately don't know.
Yeah.
Do supervisors get that much pay?
Yes.
I mean, 204Bs?
204Bs get paid, from what I'm told.
Uh-huh. Like the minimum supervisor rate?
Whatever the minimum supervisor rate it is, dude. Which is, I believe, they've been changes, but last I checked, it was like $64,000 a year.
I'm not going to pause to look this up again. So if you know definitively, like 204Bs, do they make more than us?
Oh, yeah. They make more than us. No.
No, more. They make, at least they get a bump. Yeah, for being a 204B. Dude, it's not enough that you get to sit in the air conditioning all day. But if you were making
$15 to $20 an hour, that's only $30,000, $40,000 a year. And as a 204B, you should be making $67,000 a year.
Dude, that's a big bump, right?
You last $20,000 to $30,000.
And the post office will screw you out of that if they are given the opportunity. Yeah, that's exactly right. So this came up as a topic idea because, A, I know that you have had experience with this, filing this grievance. And B, I was listening to Parcels of Knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and he talked about this and how, even 204Bs get this grievance and why we file the grievance. And this is something that, you know, if you want to know what kind of person Michael is, there's your proof right there that he filed this grievance because we're protecting the contract. We're protecting, you know, our own rights. If we let management get away with screwing one person, then we failed as a union.
So I have a more of a story on this than
all right, go for it.
So we have a highway contract route, okay, that is about 8 hours over.
So it's like a 16-hour route?
No, I take it back. I think it's more like 20 hours over.
Get out of here.
That's swear to God.
Oh, because of all the growth.
Every day.
Because the edges of Vegas
every
grow.
Every day, they're getting over 900 parcels on this route.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is no way you can get this done in 8 hours.
Right. Because if you have a region for your highway contract route and suddenly like a subdivision goes up there.
So they finally got the result. And so the route at the highway contract route.
Right.
And then they added three more routes on top. So they made it to four routes basically. Out of this one thing.
Okay. All right.
So anyway, they used to use CCAs mm-hmm. to deliver the highway contract route. So that's a grievance. So we were filing that grievance like crazy.
Okay, because it's like crossing craft.
Right.
It's crossing craft. Article 3?
Article...
Or Article 7. Article 7.
Article 7.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when management does it, it's like Article 1, I believe.
Okay.
But since they're using CCAs, Article 7.
Yep.
And the CCAs that they were using it every day, right?
Right.
And one of the CCAs made over $15,000 in grievance money.
Extra because of it. Okay. Awesome.
Because they're doing idle scheduled pay. So they got paid for any hour they work.
Right.
So we had CCAs on there. We had like two or three CCAs working on that route.
Right.
And at 8 hour, 8 to 12 hours a day.
Oh my God.
So at out of schedule, which is you get paid another, half percent, 50% on top of that, you do it every 5-6 days a week.
Right.
It becomes a lot of money.
Yeah, it certainly does.
So management had this brilliant idea.
Right. This is my favorite part of the
story. Let's not use CCAs anymore. We're using regular carriers. Okay. We'll make them 204Bs because the management can carry the highway contract.
Right, because apparently there's some provision that management can carry highway the highway contracts.
Right. So they don't have to have any more grievances.
Right.
So they brought in regular carriers, and they thought they'll be smart and charge them only straight pay. But as soon as they got to my station, I requested a copy of the 1723. So they had to put their names in the 1723 so they get paid at their higher pay.
Right. So they're doing carrier work, essentially.
All these carriers like, hey, Michael, thank you for looking for 1723 because they got them at a higher pay.
That's
they're like, oh,
awesome.
My gosh, we're getting paid so much more money.
Right. For doing the same work,
doing the same work.
Yeah.
But here's the funny part.
Yeah.
They're doing 12 hours a day.
Wow.
On that route.
Yeah.
Because there's so much mail.
Dude, it's like...
So
It's like being on a detail where
after,
like
so you after know, 10 hours, that's double time. So at a 204B pay and you get double time after 10 hours, that's a lot of money. But that was their brilliant idea.
Dude. You know, this is why the post office loses money. They could have made that into city routes.
Yeah. But here's where my biggest complaint comes.
Okay.
Is that we were trying to file a grievance to make saying because of all these I'm using the CCAs.
Right.
And one of the results that we were requesting was to make that into a city route because we're doing it every day by a CCA.
Yeah, exactly. Clearly, it's already being done by city carriers.
Our branch president says, no, we can't file that grievance and will not allow it.
You know, it's yet another example of file the grievance anyway because it's already happening. And so if we lose the grievance, we lose nothing.
And then what happened was it goes into Formal A, even though we requested on the resolve, you know,
right? And
we
they
wrote that down, and that the Formal A, they took it out.
Dude,
those are things that we're losing because
it's frustrating.
When you get a branch who doesn't care about our craft that well, this is what happens. We lose routes.
Maybe we're going to lose that grievance, but dude, you guys
doesn't hurt to go fight it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if you withdraw it, you automatically lose.
If we lose, we didn't lose anything because it's the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah, you lose nothing by trying.
But if we win, we just gain three more routes.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, dude. I think that's enough for this question. If you have questions, these make good episodes. So they get Michael and me talking. They're interesting topics. Send them into classesatmail@gmail.com.
I mean, I have another one that we can go over.
We're already at 36 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Let's save it. Let's put that one in the can for the next time. Yeah. All right. So thank you guys very much for listening. For Michael Brazenly, I'm Alan Gygax. This was Classes of Mail, and we will catch you all next time.